If for some reason you're here and have not prayed to receive Christ, you've not become a born-again Christian, you can pray a prayer. It's called a sinner's prayer. If you know that you've sinned, 4 years old, 5 years old, and still today, this pastor, and you need forgiveness of that sin. And so if you believe Jesus is God and he died for you on the cross and he arose 3 days later to give you a chance to accept him as your Lord and pay your sin debt, that's too easy. There must be work involved. Oh no, this can't be. Well, yeah, it can. That's why God, he's gracious, he's merciful. So unbelievably so. And so just, if you feel you need to pray a prayer, become a Christian, say this prayer. And you go, but I have questions. Ask questions later. The Holy Spirit wants you to pray, you pray. The devil will not be speaking to your heart to say, pray that prayer, pray that prayer. I know that was creepy, but he's not going to do that. So just say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm sorry. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I turn to follow you. Dear Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. The best I know how to believe. I believe that you raised from the dead 3 days later. Jesus, save me. Make my heart new. Make me born again. Come into my heart and change me. Amen. So that's, Carrie laid out the plan of salvation. So why would we not start with that? So if you prayed that prayer, see me after the service and I'll give you a couple things to read. Free of charge. And you go, okay, well that was kind of weird. But cool. Thanks, Lord. I like to start with a funny, as you know. Half the time, they're not funny. Sometimes there's courtesy laughter. I'll take anything. Do you mind if I get ahead of you? I only have one sin. So that's kind of cool. Confession. If you're attending a Catholic church, I have Catholic brothers and sisters, and they're trusting in Jesus for their salvation, and then they're keeping the sacraments as a result of trusting Jesus for salvation, and so we'll see them in heaven. Yeah. But I know some of their practice is you go to confession with a priest. And so biblically, according to James chapter 5, verse 16, if you're going to go to confession, according to that verse, if you're going to confess to the priest better confess back to you. It's supposed to be two ways. Okay, confess your sins to one another, James says. And so just so we kind of get that straight. But really what we're going to focus on today is us and Jesus as Christians. God bless you. Yeah. When you've got a really small church and somebody sneezes, it's like, yeah, God bless you. If I don't catch one, somebody else can catch it. Let's go on. Confession. As Christians, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, Paul says in Romans 7, 14 through 25. He says, I know the good I should do, but I so often do what I shouldn't be doing. And he writes that in the present tense Greek. The present tense Greek. So the guy that penned two-thirds of our New Testament is saying that he struggles with his flesh every day. So do I. Have you ever heard Max Lucado preach? You know Max Lucado? He starts off, forgive this sinner, for my sins are many. I mean, that's humble. He's written a jillion books. Don't know what a jillion means, but it seems like a lot. Confession of sin as a Christian. Not to get born again. Not to do that. But to restore the relationship on this earth with Jesus. So you can walk with him and walk in the light. Not in darkness. Not in darkness. Keep that in mind. We're going to talk a lot about darkness. This is what happens when we walk in darkness. It's like we're blind. Our spiritual eyes are blind. We don't see God's plan when we walk in our sin and we refuse to confess it. Or we have sin that we know that's really burdening us down. And we refuse to go to Christian counseling. And we know it's just crushing us. And we'll see that with King David a little bit, but not in Psalms 51. That's next week. So we don't want to walk in darkness. Even though it's like, I see fine. John, okay? Ken, Michael, Carrie, I see fine. Our eyes, our spiritual eyes, play tricks on us. And so does the evil one lurking around, seeking to devour 1 Peter 5:8. It's the devil's playground. Sounds like I give him too much credit. But just watch the news every night. It's the devil's playground. But who's in charge? Yeah, Jesus. 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 That's right. Number one. Here we go. Written to new Christians. Oh, that's a weird introduction. The Apostle John writes 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the Gospel of John and Revelation. And so written to new Christians, a letter that circulated among about 7 churches in Asia Minor. He writes to people already born again. Just like you may have prayed that prayer, you're born again. So that would be kind of you in the same boat. Or car, or plane. Not plane. Have you seen the news? There's like a plane mishap almost every day now. Yeah, we won't go plane right now. Unless you're flying tomorrow. Planes are really the safest mode of transportation. In case you're flying tomorrow, yeah. Millions and billions of people fly. No issue. No issue. Don't watch the news every day, at least for the next couple days, if that's the problem. Okay, so, and then, docetism was a practice of false teachers in the first century that the Apostle John refutes. He refutes them. So he does that in 1 John chapters 1 through 5. Kind of 1 through 4 predominantly. Docetists. They said Jesus was a phantom. He didn't have a real body. And they, it's like, really? That's weird. So the problem is that they would say Jesus didn't really die for our sins if he didn't have a body. And he may have appeared to, but didn't. And that's a problem in our faith. So John has to refute that. John has to refute that. And he does with some beautiful conditional clauses. Say conditional clauses. Yeah, you'll see them in chapter 1 of 1 John, verse 6, 8, and 10. And we'll get there in a minute. We'll get there in a minute. But docetism was the forerunner to Gnostic belief. Say Gnosticism. Gnosticism. Say nasty. Nasty. Yeah, so Gnostics were kind of nasty. Knowledge was the way to salvation. Having more knowledge was the way to salvation. They also believed this. In a dualism, all matter is evil, only the spirit and soul are good. So they were starting to teach this with docetism, and then 100 years later, the Gnostics were fully formed. Okay? So here's the weird part. Here's the weird part. Because the body is matter and evil, they said, Gnostics said, we don't sin. We don't sin. So because only the spirit and the soul are good, so if we don't sin, we can do things in our nasty body, do nasty things, and it doesn't count against us. And so that's why John, the Apostle John, refutes that. And look, he says, if we say, I don't have verse 6 there, I didn't have enough room on the slide. Plus, a lot of you say, there's too much words on the slides anyway. Anyway, if we say conditional clause, if we say conditional clause, so he's refuting, the Apostle John's refuting the false claims. Refuting the false claims. Okay? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That's verse 8. So do you see how that relates to Docetism and the whole idea about the Gnostics that were later formed, fully believed, bodies matter, what you do in there doesn't count, only the spirit and soul's good. So they're saying that you don't sin. And John is saying, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Then he says, if we confess our sins, remember, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to Christians. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's like, that's to Christians. That's to us. We got to confess our sins. It's like, I haven't sinned today or yesterday. Really? I mean, that's between you and God. But I have not trusted him. I have thought one or two times that my wife thinks she knows everything. And she does. But I was kind of upset with that. And I was just thinking not so pleasant thoughts with her. And then she was reminding me to do something, which I already knew I had to do. But I didn't know it at the time. I was being reminded. So, I mean, we just go wayward. And I know the examples, they start and they end with me, but it's true. There's I could get in that mode where I start to resent her. And we just don't ever, I don't ever heal things with the Lord or even heal things with her. And then it starts to escalate. I don't even realize it's escalating. Really, really not good. So anyway, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So again, going back to the false teaching claims, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So that's the context. I like to tell you a context of a passage. Otherwise, it gets confusing. So Jesus, yesterday, before I left church, your Holy Spirit convicted me that I wasn't trusting you enough in one specific area. And so, Lord, forgive me of that. And Lord, this morning, when I feel as though I get bossed around sometimes, and I get resentful, but I don't really say that I'm being resentful, but I sometimes act that way. So forgive me of that, Lord. I want to walk in the light. I want to see your perfect will for me and my family today. And I don't want to be the stumbling block in my family, Jesus. Your precious name, amen. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about. That's the kind of thing that just, that restores the fellowship with Jesus. And you think like, I can't be doing that every day. There's no way. I won't have time to go outside. Relax. It's not about your salvation. It's not about becoming a Christian. It's about restoring a walk, an everyday walk until Jesus comes back. I will share some more, and we'll hopefully lay that out for you even more so. Okay, so let's go on here. In chapter 2, the Apostle John goes on to say, verse 9, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So sin, hate, leads to a darkening of the eyes. And it causes us to, stumble. And look at that. I had no idea that board was going to fall. Kind of. So darkness here, this is associated with sin and walking in a way that's not pleasing to God. Hate, disregard for others. And so we're seeing that this is not a good thing. This is not a good way to walk. Here's what it looks like. Here's what it looks like up close and personal. Okay, so if darkness comes in as Christians, if darkness comes in as we're just totally loving and embracing the world, just loving and give me more, you know, whatever. Darkness comes in, we start to stumble, our spiritual eyes become dim. And these are actually two eye conditions. That's how I got the pictures. But here's the thing. It's spiritual eyes. So we don't know. We don't know if we're walking in darkness, walking in sin. Don't restore the relationship. And not only do I have to restore the relationship with Jesus, but I got to restore it with my wife and confess to her. And we've had in 34 years, numerous times, thousands of times, I've had to go back and apologize to her after I've confessed my sin before the Lord as a Christian to restore the relationship. Oh my goodness, but the blessing of us walking through life together is blissful. It's rich. It's unlike anything that I see sometimes in my friends who don't have that practice. I mean, I see people who fight and they stay mad for days. Like days. And it's just like, gosh, that doesn't have to be. So if I'm walking in my sin, if I'm walking in darkness, these are my spiritual eyes. I'm not going to see clearly. But here's the thing. I don't know that I'm not seeing clearly. I don't know it. You ever talk to somebody who's backslidden? Ah, God, phooey. Yeah, I used to follow him. Phooey. Now get away. They really don't have a picture of their blindness. Well, do you feel like God loves you? Yeah, he loves me. I'm going to heaven when I die. I've received him into my heart. They don't understand. They don't see the darkness. It's like high blood pressure, the silent killer. But that's the condition of our spiritual eyes sometimes. That's the condition. And I don't know about you, but you may have something from a relationship a long time ago, from a relationship right now, family, spouse, ex-spouse, who knows? Something where you were the victim, and it's like, I was the victim. I'm not confessing anything. Well, did you have a part, a wrong in that? Well, yeah, but it was the 10%. You can confess that part. And again, Jesus, faithful and just to purify you as a Christian, and walk in his light again. Walk in his light again. Let's take this a step further. I want to show you a video clip from The Chosen. Oh, you like that? And so, as you know, I'm going to step away from the pulpit because The Chosen takes some liberties. We've got a clip where Mary Magdalene fell away from Christ and is being restored. That was in one of their episodes. And so they take the liberty to say, to fill in the gaps of what the Bible doesn't say. And so while this, we don't have the text, I want you to see the behavior of Jesus and the behavior of Mary Magdalene. Oh, the sorrow she has for sin. The sorrow. I don't know if you and I, when we sin, do you have sorrow? Are you really repentant? Are you really siding with God in the sense that I'm really sorry and I'm going to change this? Take a look and see here. Again, confession. Don't want to walk in darkness anymore. Want to take sin that's keeping me from seeing God's perfect plan and confess it between me and you, Lord. That's why you have stickies on your bulletin. And you're going to stick it to that cross just in a little bit here. Actually, really soon here.
So that's kind of a brokenness. That's kind of a sorrow that I want to have before my Savior when I blow it. Maybe you would agree when you should blow it. And look at the restoration that Jesus has for his people who have trusted him as Lord. That's available to you. And so I would think Mary Magdalene got kind of a weird shake in the scripture. And there's a lot of unknowns. Yes, Jesus cast out 7 demons. But as far as prostitution and stuff like that, it's conjecture. It's conjecture. There are theologians that lump passages with the passage of her and different dialogues that are there. But did you see the behavior of Jesus? I think the Chosen has it pretty darn good a lot of the time. I mean, pretty powerful. King David. He kept silent about his sins, and it cost him. A lot of scholarship links Psalms 32 with Psalms 51. David's sin with Bathsheba. It is said and known that Psalms 51 and David's confession about that adulterous relationship came about 9 to 12 months afterwards. And so this is what he said and what he was struggling with. King David kept silent about his sins and it cost him. Psalms 32, 3 and 4. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Through my groanings all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. And so if you've got stuff in your past and whatever percentage wrong that you were involved with, write it on the sticky. Stick it to the cross. There's no other payment required. And then if you're so courageous enough, go back to the person, if it's safe, and say, "Hey, I'm sorry for my part in this." And you will walk out of that room, of that place, on a high like never before. And unlike anything you can achieve from the pharmacy. This is the Holy Spirit moving in our lives. David says in Psalms 19:12, "Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults." Wait a second. You mean we could have hidden faults? We could have sins we don't even know about? David's confessing those. We should too. Do you want your path illuminated? Do you want to be the best for your family? Best for yourself and your neighbors? Write down the things you need to confess before the Lord. Don't put your name on the sticky. We don't want to have the names. It's not our business. But if you think about this, look at the context here really quick. We got to get ready to close here in a minute. David says in Psalms 19 that God's word is more valuable than fine gold. And shares a warning and rewards about keeping God's word. So that's pretty powerful here. He's talking about God's word. Who can discern his errors? According to God's word, how is life working for you like that? For me, it's messy. Thanks for asking. But God has a way out. As a Christian, I can confess my sin. And in this process called sanctification, where he's working on me to become more holy over time, through the power of his Spirit, he's patient. But if I have no interest in him, and I don't even want to learn his word, the world's going to sting me, and sting me again, and sting me again. It stunned King David. He was a man after God's own heart. It stung him good. Well, look at that. Well, look at that. The prophet Nathan next week. And we'll see, golly, how did this work to David's good? Look at this. Who can discern his errors? Look at this. David reflected that he ignored God's word more than he was ever aware of. I can admit that. I can admit that. And then forgive my hidden faults. David admits that he needs cleansing from sins that he was not aware of or committed and forgot. I think of things in high school that I committed, sins, and they were terrible. No, I didn't murder. I'd be in jail. They were terrible. And as they come to mind, I confess them. I don't want anything in my path. But if I forget to confess sin, certain sins that I can't be specific about, David says, who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults, Lord. That again opens up the illuminated pathway. The illuminated pathway. I can see, God, you're using me and you're helping me to help people. And it's exhilarating and it's a blessing. Oh, I can see it. I can do it. Okay, wow. Confess. I've got my stickies. I've got my stickies here. Yeah, I've got some things I got to write down. And I'm going to go stick them over there as the music plays in just a couple minutes here. Hey, but let me just tell you this. Let me just tell you some weird fact. You're like, hasn't this been weird enough? No, let me tell you one weird fact. Just real quick here. The confession of our sin. Old Testament. Our sins are as far from the east to the west, God says. Psalms 103:12. In the New Testament. In Jesus Christ. Look at the language. Look at the language. And you'll go, yeah, I want to confess everything that's keeping me from seeing Jesus in my life. New Testament, our sins are obliterated in Christ. Obliterated. That's better as then from the forest to the east to the west. Okay, yeah. Purged means completely obliterated, wiped out, eradicated. Our sins have been removed. So why not write struggles down? Why not get the slate clean? Even if you write down what David said, forgive me for errors that I don't even know. You'll leave here with an illuminated path that will be conducive to more spirit-led righteousness working in your life. Everybody should want that. I mean, you would think, unless the eyes are so blind, you're like, would you just stop? Are the burgers, are they getting cold? Would you stop preaching? I've been there. I've been sitting there. Matter of fact, in college, I wanted to go to the barbecue after church, but I wasn't dare going to leave the Dallas Cowboys on TV without attending to them. So we all go through different times of our life, in our life where Jesus is big, and then Jesus is like, yeah. But those times were dark for me, and bad things happened. Now, bad things happen to Christians, to great, holy, holy, righteous Christians, letting the Holy Spirit work in and through us. But he promises peace. He promises a way out. He promises help. And automatically, you've got peace like no other time in your life because it's the Holy Spirit that's working in and through you. What do we need to confess before Jesus and lay it down in his cross to know that his death, forgiveness, and resurrection, I should say are sufficient, is sufficient? Take some time. If you will. If you're going, I don't want to participate. I don't stand up. I don't draw attention to myself. Okay, then just write it where you're at. But those that want to feel led to be courageous and go stick it to the cross, there'll be something about leaving today. You go, yeah, I left that with Jesus.
And then you may or may not need to contact somebody to make it right with them as you go forward. People are already sticking it to the cross. Sounds kind of strange, sticking it to the cross. That's why he died, so we could stick our sins to his cross. As you're led, as the music plays, go and stick. Go and stick.